Until today, I have never prepared a sermon on gay and lesbian relationships for this congregation. I have avoided this topic because it has been so contentious and emotional for Mennonites in the last 30 years. In families, congregations, conferences, and in our denomination, we have vociferously disagreed with each other over this. In 2011, I was at our denomination's biennial gathering in Pittsburgh, and I sat at the same table with a delegate from another state who was furious. I think that word accurately describes her emotional state. She was furious about the denomination's current position on gay and lesbian sexual relationships. In 1986 and 1987, our two predecessor denominations, the Mennonite Church and General Conference Mennonite Church, passed resolutions on sexuality. Among other things, these resolutions said that gay and lesbian sexual activity is like premarital, extramarital, and abusive sexual activity, wrong. These denominational resolutions also committed us to continuing conversation on these questions, which in part, I think, means we want to keep listening to each other as new insights emerge. These resolutions were approved 27 and 28 years ago. Many of you here today were not yet born, or were still small children. On the other end of the age spectrum, many Mennonites who were alive then and who voted on those resolutions are now dead. In the 28 years since those resolutions were passed, some significant shifts have happened in the church and in the culture. In this sermon, I want to name some of those shifts. But before I do that, it might be good to say a little bit about our congregation. As far as I know, our congregation has never passed a statement on sexuality in our history. We began in 1979. I'm not aware of any such statement. When it comes to gay and lesbian relationships, I do not think we would find much agreement in our congregation. We have never polled ourselves on the question of same-sex relationships, but we certainly would not all agree. And even if we could come to agreement now, the pace of change on this issue is happening rapidly enough that I wonder whether people who are in the congregation 10 years from now would still feel that the agreement fairly represented their views. This is why I have avoided preaching on this topic. What can I say that might be useful to all of us instead of making us disgruntled with each other? It's easy to talk about topics we mostly agree on, like peacemaking. It's much harder to address a topic like gay and lesbian relationships where we fundamentally disagree. Somehow, I have to be a pastor to all of you. So what can I say that might be useful to all of us? One possibility is to discuss the seven biblical texts that seem to mention gay or lesbian sexual behavior. The difficulty with that approach is that biblical scholars and theologians, including Mennonite biblical scholars and theologians, have major disagreements with each other about what these texts mean. Bible scholars do not even agree that these seven texts are primarily about gay and lesbian sexual behavior. The arguments that scholars make on one side or the other are long and complex. In preparation for this sermon, I read four books by biblical and theological scholars. They made my head spin. Sometimes these scholars, when they debate each other, they can get very heated and contentious. Instead of trying to summarize all of the pro and con arguments in a sermon, which would be an impossible task anyway, I have simply made a footnote in the text of this sermon that refers to some of that scholarship. If you're interested in pursuing that, you can go to our congregation's website, download the sermon, read the footnote, and look up some of that scholarship. If you do that, my advice would be to try reading authors who have a different position than the one you hold. I should say this sermon is heavily footnoted, so there are a lot of other footnotes there that you might want to pursue if you choose to. So instead of looking at the biblical material, what I want to do instead is outline some of the shifts that have happened in the Mennonite Church USA and in American culture since our predecessor denominations passed those resolutions on sexuality 28 years ago. Some of us celebrate these shifts, and some of us mourn them. Whether you love them or hate them, these shifts are happening, and I see no reason, no benefit in ignoring them. I think we should recognize these shifts because they are affecting the way we collectively think about gay and lesbian relationships. So, what are some of the shifts in Mennonite Church USA? Perhaps the most obvious shift is that more congregations now welcome covenanted gay and lesbian couples than did 30 years ago. True, some of these congregations have been disciplined, but more recently, some congregations have retained their membership in the local conference without restrictions. As a result, Mennonite congregations and the denomination as a whole now have more members in same-sex covenants than they did 3 decades ago. A second shift is that 2 conferences, Central District and Western District, now appear to implicitly allow pastors to perform gay and lesbian covenant ceremonies without having their ministerial credentials revoked. 30 years ago, I can't think of any Mennonite conference that would have allowed pastors who officiated at covenanting ceremonies for gay or lesbian couples to retain their ministerial credentials. A third shift, and a potentially momentous one, and by momentous, I simply mean there are bound to be consequences from this one. Third potentially momentous shift just happened a few months ago in the Mountain States Mennonite Conference, which includes congregations in Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas. Over a year ago, First Mennonite Church of Denver hired Theta Good, a female pastor who is in a covenanted lesbian relationship. After a lengthy discernment process, Mountain States Conference agreed to license Theta, making her the first pastor in Mennonite Church USA who's in a committed lesbian or gay relationship. There is no way that would have happened 30 years ago. And I want to note that some of you college students here today might well be from congregations that belong to that conference. Some of us will celebrate these shifts, some of us will lament them, but they have happened. Now let's look at some shifts in Mennonite culture in the last 30 years. The first shift is the well-known fact that 17 states, along with Washington, D.C., now permit gay and lesbian couples to marry. In addition to those 17 states, 4 more states recognize civil unions and partnerships. Beyond those 21 states, 5 more states have recently taken steps to end the ban on same-sex marriage that currently exists within their state boundaries. By now, about 45% of Americans live in states that offer some kind of recognition for gay and lesbian couples, whether that's marriage or civil unions or some other kind of provision or protection. And that's a big shift from just 12 years ago when there was no state that permitted gay marriage. Massachusetts, the first state to recognize same-sex marriage, did so just 11 years ago. A second shift is that a slight majority of Americans, by one poll, 58%, now favor gay and lesbian marriage. Before about 2011, most Americans did not approve of such marriages, but in that year, a majority of Americans switched the other direction and started favoring gay marriage. A significant detail in this data is a demographic difference. Younger adults more often favor gay and lesbian marriage than older adults. Only 39% of people over 55 years of age thought same-sex marriage should be legal. This is 2011. But in that same poll, 70% of people aged 18 to 34 thought it should be legal. If these demographic patterns continue to hold steady, then as older Americans die and younger Americans become a larger percentage of the general population, the overall support for gay marriage will gradually increase. Third shift has come via legislative rulings, most notably. There are lots of these that have happened, but the biggest one is from the Supreme Court. Last summer, the court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act from 1996, which had prevented the federal government from recognizing same-sex marriage. And since that ruling, the federal government has now started recognizing same-sex couples, giving them some of the same rights that heterosexual couples have. A fourth shift comes from various professional organizations which have recently gone on record to support gay and lesbian marriage. These organizations include the Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, and the American College of Nursing. Significant shifts are also happening in the evangelical world, which for a long time was virtually united in opposition to same-sex relationships. A handful of evangelical leaders have recently spoken in favor of same-sex marriage, including Jim Wallis, Rob Bell, and Brian McLaren. A number of other evangelicals are beginning to noticeably soften their traditional opposition to same-sex relationship. This includes some evangelicals in the pews. One telling example of the shifts underway recently happened at Exodus International, a prominent evangelical organization which for a long time believed that gay and lesbian persons could be cured through prayer and psychotherapy. Back in the 1990s, I remember a number of Mennonites talking in glowing terms about the ministry of Exodus International. It came as a big surprise last summer when Exodus International's president publicly declared there is no cure for homosexuality and that reparative therapy offered false hopes to gay and lesbian persons. He formally apologized to gay and lesbian persons, and shortly thereafter, the organization closed its doors. When Mennonites passed resolutions on sexuality in 1986 and 1987, I was a young adult. Back then, I do not recall anybody predicting that by 2014, all of these shifts would happen in American culture. My purpose today is simply to point out that when it comes to same-sex relationships, neither the Mennonite Church USA nor American culture is at the same place they were 30 years ago. Big shifts have happened and probably are going to continue to happen. In the last dozen years or so, some Mennonites who favor traditional marriage have chosen to leave Mennonite Church USA. I think the number of so-called conservatives who have left the denomination would easily number in the thousands. While most Mennonites who also want to allow for same-sex marital covenants have chosen to stay in Mennonite Church USA. It remains to be seen what all of these shifts are going to mean for American Mennonites in the next decade or two. Regardless of what happens in the nation or in our denomination, we at Berkey still have to be church. We still need to carry on as a church. We do not agree with each other on this issue and probably will not in the foreseeable future. Therefore, the focusing question for our conversation today during Sunday school is, in a contested environment over same-sex relationships, how can we continue to be Christ's loving, caring, healing presence? That's our motto. How can we continue to be this for each other, but also for people in the world? One biblical text that might guide us is the passage we heard Caleb read from Ephesians. And I'm going to read it now, portions of it again in a different translation. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, let us make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and in all and through all. I urge us to remember that somehow God is present in the middle of all of this stuff. Remember, this church, the Church of Jesus Christ, doesn't belong to us. We aren't the owners. This church, the broader church, belongs to the triune God, who will somehow take care of the church so that it continues to help, love, care for, and heal the world.